All right, everybody, this is a mini-sode, probably, and I'm Tim, and with me, I've got...
Rich.
And probably in the background, I've got...
Refereeing is Cliff.
Right, and we're going to talk about the X-Men. Everybody loves talking to me about the X-Men, because I hate them, and it bothers people who like the X-Men. And they always want to pick my brain, but they never actually want to listen to what I have to say. So, Rich, you universally love the X-Men.
Yep, universally.
You can... There's nothing about the X-Men you do not love. Everything's great. Last Stand is your was your wallpaper on your laptop for the longest time.
Let's not bring the movies into this. All right, let's not bring the movies. All right. talking comic books.
All
right. Movies are
out of the out of the picture here.
Yeah.
So
you want to get my argument dander out? That's bringing up the movies.
No, I think we would just agree, and
yeah.
It'd be a big old love fest.
Maybe we could all agree on which ones are good and which ones are bad.
Yeah, First Class is good.
Yep. The first two are fine.
First Class, X2, and Logan. If I could just keep those and just jettison the rest of them, I'd be fine.
Jettison?
Yeah, just kick them into the sun.
We all agree that Days of Future Past is garbage.
Yeah.
Hot. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Olivia's here.
Woo! She may or may not have opinions at some point.
She might. If she has them, she'll give them to you.
Alright.
So, the X-Men.
Why do you hate them? I'll let you bounce the ball first.
I did not initially hate them. But what I will say is, very rarely is there ever a team I can get behind. As a team book. It's a team book. That's the big gimmick of it. There's very rarely been a team where I care enough about the team. I might like a character here and there, but as a team, they just completely fail me. They don't work good as a team. They're almost always arguing. And it's like the same cliche over and over again. Like, oh, that guy did something stupid. All right, let's do a bunch of powers and get out of this. Like, it's just the same old shit. Now, I will say things that I think are good X-Men related.
Okay.
I think the giant size era, that golden era of that team, yeah. I think is good. It just didn't captivate me for long. By the way, if you ever hear me talking shit on Chris Claremont, I don't mean it. I just do that to fuck with people. I've been doing it so much, I'm like, I feel like I should have a... Because I met Chris Claremont. He's nice. It was cool to talk to him.
There's definitely two different Chris Claremonts.
Yeah.
There's original extended run Chris Claremont.
Right.
And then when he came back in the 90s, Chris Claremont, where I don't think anybody knows what he was trying to accomplish.
I think he was trying to get a paycheck.
Touche.
Because at some point, and again, if Marvel contacted me tomorrow and they said, write a new X-Men story, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would sell out so fast. I would say, we need like a bird guy on the team? What else do you need? Like a girl who phases or sparkles? What do we need? I would do it so fast, and I would call it my magnum opus. I would love it. I would sign copies all the time. My mother would be showing her friends pictures of my book.
Of Famous Tim.
Famous Tim. So I just wanted to be clear about that. But that original team, good.
Okay.
Not the original team. That's just a Doom Patrol ripoff.
Doom Patrol ripoff.
It is.
All right.
One of them happened first, buddy. DC's got the guy in a wheelchair kind of marketed. They got it cornered.
Only one person can have a wheelchair in the whole world.
I'm sorry. I do like how early on, though, like, Charles Xavier had, like, some, like, tank-looking wheelchairs at some points.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, what is he doing? Is he, like, drilling to the center of the earth? What is this thing? I mean, yes, it's cool you have a handicapped person in a book and you're making him super useful, but
yeah.
At the same time.
That's where he kept his snacks.
God Loves, Man Kills.
Yeah.
I think that's must read. I think that's one of the greatest comics ever, and it's an X-Men book.
Yeah.
Days in Future Past, it's pretty good. It kind of gets blown... It really was only two issues. And, like, whenever you buy a trade of it or you read a collection of it, they throw so much unnecessary garbage into it. I think that's kind of, like, takes the shine off of it for me. Takes the luster off.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't like anything in the 90s for the most part. Like, there's characters that are good. Like, Gambit's fun. Rogue grew a lot. She also grew in other books. And Wolverine is great. Wolverine almost is like a plot device. Like, you don't need him on your team. He's too strong.
Wolverine has been overused over the years. But even it extended outside of... I think the reason it got tired in the X-Men is because every other comic book needed to use him for something. So he was with the Avengers for a little bit. But I can say Fantastic Four. Wasn't he in the Fantastic Four for a small run? When like,
two issues.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Yeah, the new Fantastic Four.
Everybody needed a piece of Logan.
Which is fine. His solo run, I love. The one that's... Did it start with Daniel Way or Jason Aaron or somebody? It's the one where Old Man Logan originally happened towards the end by Millar. A lot of good people wrote on that one. That run, I have every issue of it. I love it. I think it's great. But that's not an X-Men story. That's a solo Wolverine story.
Yeah.
The last X book I read that I actually enjoyed, and I've tried. From time to time, I will pick one up. Schism was the last one that I enjoyed.
Schism was strong. I was very upset how they kind of... I really liked how they tried to push for a new Xavier Magneto dynamic with Logan and Cyclops. I liked it a lot. And then they kind of... I feel like they kind of wimped out a little bit on the making Cyclops a bad guy thing. Even though he was like a not really a bad guy so much as he was trying to do the right thing for his people the wrong way kind of deal. Like a gray area. I liked how that was going.
Which is a real world thing.
Cyclops just always comes off as a dick, though.
And I kind of like Cyclops at times.
Yeah,
because I like the dick characters.
Leading up to that story, I think he was one of the strongest versions of the character because he kind of backs in a corner. Which, by the way, is a backtrack. I think the X-Men's been great the entire time. Just so you know. But his character development in there—that's
why we call it a debate.
he got backed into a corner and he decided he was going to make tough decisions. So then he leaned on Wolverine. He said, "Hey, I need these pieces off the board. And if you're going to have pieces taken off a board, Wolverine's the guy to do it." So I really liked where it was going, and then it just kind of it crescendoed into really dark. And I thought that was great. So I agree. Schism, I thought, was a really good like move for the whole.
The ending couple fight scene between them is one of the greatest things you don't see coming. They're literally about to get destroyed by a Sentinel.
Yeah.
And they don't care. They'd rather just fight each other. Cyclops gets stabbed through the hand and he just keeps blasting him in the face. He's like, I'm fucking sick of you.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was really good. Oh, another good X-Men story, which surprised the shit out of me. Because everything else associated with this event is hot garbage. The Fear Itself tie-in for the X-Men was actually really good.
Fear Itself
tie-in. When Colossus became the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good. Yeah. That story. And that whole event is the worst thing ever.
I did not enjoy it. But yeah, him taking over as Juggernaut was very unexpected. It was
the way they did it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've always been a fan of X-Men. I feel like, though I can't really back up any of the initial teams that get picked for the books. It's always taken as like a giant family, like a tapestry. Even if they say these seven X-Men are the team for, I don't know, even when they did that annoying, annoying throwback, we're going to go back to being gold and blue. Even when they did that, even the core teams, if you didn't like them, it's never just them. As they move through the adventures, the teams will interweave, they'll pull X-Men from other areas, they'll just kind of hop in for a couple issues. So when you like the X-Men, it's not just about the team the book starts off in, it's about the whole table. Because the writers, you know, they're not always going to be like, hey, these are the only people I'm going to use. You know, I want to use Nightcrawler for a story. I'm gonna pull him over there and do this.
They've always had guest spots in books.
Yeah. So
that's not the issue. It's the teams, the seven people that they're picking, I think, are never good. I can't tell you the last time I cared about an entire team. It's probably that initial Claremont.
I think Uncanny X-Force had a pretty strong... It's I think they had a pretty though. Strong team.
It's very different.
But it's an X-Men
book. It's in the X-Universe.
It's an X-Team. They're all X-Characters. It was an X-Team, and I think that was true.
But it wasn't an X-Men book in spirit. You know, it wasn't like, let's help people. Let's, you know the whole... mutant.
It hasn't been that in an arguably too long amount of time. It's been very very lashing out against Extinction for the past. Like, I kind of wish they would stop it. That's what I'm kind of hoping this new line for the X-Men is very much like we're not going to be lashing out against potential Extinction. We're just going to kind of flourish for once.
Yeah, I don't know, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know
about that. It's That new one, people are digging it, but man, it's too convoluted for my head already.
Yeah.
There's like four timelines. There's like seven Xaviers. I don't know. There's a tree.
I haven't read the new one yet. I'll have to take a step back from that. But I mean, like, you know, the original team, whether or not you think they're a Doom Patrol knockoff.
Oh, no, they are. We can't argue. That's not debatable. They totally are.
I'm going to choose that's not my reality.
Okay. That's fine. Ostrich syndrome is fine.
The initial team and some of the offshoots when they went from like X-Men to X-Factor. I like that.
X-Factor's a great book.
It's a very golden age. I like that team.
X-Factor's good.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like the way the X-Men were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then when Madrox Multiple Man takes over and it becomes like a crime book and evolves into a team book from there, I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
But that's them trying to do something different. And I guess that's why the X-Force book feels so good. It's like this slaughtery kind of team.
Okay, X-Force was real strong.
But as far as making an X-book feel like an X-book, because like the Fantastic Four is always like the science-y family book. Yeah. And yeah, that doesn't appeal to everybody, but it's always been that way. It's always the Thing and the Human Torch are always best buddies, and they'll always, jump in front of blasts for each other, and like there's just constants you have all the time. And like the X-Men, I don't know, maybe because you shake up the teams too much, it's not there. I don't even know who half the characters are. When I open an X-Book, I'm like, okay, this guy's transparent. I can see his eyes. Like, I don't even know what's going on. Right. What are you, like 12? Like, I don't know.
There's a certain amount of... It's definitely an encyclopedia at this point. Because every time they come back, I think they've tried to go in and make young teams maybe a bit too many times.
Yes.
And they seem to fall kind of flat in their face. But pretty much every time they do an iteration, though, there's a couple characters you can pull out of it. And then move on to like another book that you like. So some of them kind of fall to the wayside. That dude with the tattoos, I don't even know what it is. Where like his tattoos did different things. I think he even showed up in one of the X-Men movies. Because of the whole cornucopia of...
Oh, yeah, he made people sick.
Of potential people. You picked a dude with a weird tattoo power. Friggin' idiots.
In Days of Futures Past.
Friggin' idiots. Let's pick a real low special effects budget guy. Oh, the tattooed wiggly guy. Yeah. Freaking jackass.
That was his original name.
So I feel like in every iteration there's a couple characters or a couple like shifts in characterizations of previous X-Men that I think it's always pushing in a good direction. You know, sometimes they push it too far and you have to cancel the book. Sometimes
people every 12 issues.
Yeah.
Well, that's just Marvel syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gotta have those number ones.
Yeah, very ridiculous. Very shit against the wall kind of.
God forbid we have an issue 15.
but there's enough good characters in the core of the X-Men that you could always write a good book based on.
But they don't.
But they could.
They could. Yes, yeah. They could.
There's good stories. There's good bits and pieces of every run. I mean, they're not all good, but not every comic. All the big publishers, you're not going to get 100% good out of every issue. But it's always good chunks of runs, good versions of characters. You get like the Astonishing X-Men that shows up every once in a while. Where that's a core X book with a good team that did good things for at least until they shifted to a new creative team when it was Cassidy and. Whedon.
Yeah,
it was Kathleen Whedon. That's a great run. And then it shifted over to a new creative team and it started going a little wonky. That's a core book where they're doing X-Men things. They're out there, they're saving people and like going back to basics. You get good runs. And
run did good things. It made Emma Frost more important.
Yeah.
For sure. And certain other characters got pushed to the forefront. But I don't know. It is it good? I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to read it though still like I'm trying to like debate you and not just shit all over it
I think there's enough good runs that the X-Men have always been good. It might not be the entire thing, not every lane is filled with a good car, but there's always one car kind of
so
pushing.
So you're looking like in general there's been more positives than negatives.
The X-Men, yes, there's been more positive than negatives. I can't really defend the 90s though. The 90s was kind of ridiculous.
So, Tim, if you
But
were...
it did have, I can't say his name, but Madrira? Joe Mad?
Joe Mad, yeah. Say Joe Mad. I think it's Majora, but I don't know.
Friggin' amazing run of art. Amazing run of art. It's about as 90s as you can get.
He is very 90s, that's true.
Extremely 90s, but it was amazing.
So, Tim, what would it take for a new X-Men book to come out? What characters would need to be in it to pique your interest enough to want to read it?
I don't think it should have... pretty much any of these characters.
Assume it's a competent writer. It doesn't matter.
Have to be a competent writer.
A competent writer's
on it. The fact that right now, Jonathan Hickman, one of the greatest writers in all of comics, in my personal opinion, is writing the X-Men, and I still didn't check it out, should speak volumes.
This guy.
I'm telling you.
I
think they should go back to a more basic team. It should be all characters you know. It should be characters that you recognize. Probably should be characters that were in that 90s cartoon. You should go a little nostalgia and then expand out. Make me care about the guy with the googly eyes and the translucent body. I could see his organs. I don't know anything about him. I don't care. I don't care. And there's been characters that like, oh yeah, that guy. I've seen that guy. Every time he shows up, like he shows up 6-7 issues I'm reading, I'm like, I don't get what they're trying to make me feel about him. He's just there to be the smashy guy. Like, you need a well-balanced team. You should have your Cyclops, your Storm. You can have Wolverine. You can have Gambit. You can have Rogue. You should have these more known characters. You should develop stories, have it go somewhere, and then bring in all these other characters versus, you know, for so long it was like, all right, Storm's leading the team. And Beast is back there doing sciencey stuff and boring panels. And then, all right, they're going to teach a school of these young kids you don't care about. And their powers are knockoffs of other powers you've already seen.
Pretty lame.
So I think maybe they should just ditch. Can they just blow up the school? I'm sure they've done that 16 times. Oh, yeah. Can we blow it up again for realsies?
It's been blown up.
So can we get the Scarlet Witch to, like, no more mutants again? Like, no more.
So do you want to, like, Barry Allen the school?
Yeah. I think you go back to basics, get rid of the school dynamic. The school dynamic's played out at this point. If you're going to evolve the characters, why go do Xavier's Institute anymore? If you've gone away from the whole social rights kind of aspect of it, where you're like, okay, people are kind of more tolerant of mutants in general. We're not really making it a whole, you know, black-white allegory anymore. So, okay, let's get rid of the school. I mean, they can still meet up. They can have a headquarters. Why can't they just have a headquarters?
Yeah.
It's underground. You're not blowing it up. Okay, cool. Now we can go on a mission.
I can't see them ever. The school has to exist. I don't think the story has to be centric there.
But why?
I think it serves as a great, like, hub for
teaching children.
Yes. It's a great hub for potential characters. So I don't think the story should take place there, right? It should just exist off to the side.
I mean, they definitely did for a long time.
All of the elder X-Men, yeah, move on to somewhere else. Like, they get some type of headquarters. Like, that's like, maybe you just don't mess with. Maybe there's like a cloaking thing or something on just the school. It's off to the side. It's just doing its own thing.
Just put it in another dimension.
Another dimension. You know, that does its own thing. Maybe characters come out of there from time to time. You know, like whenever they have like a cool idea for extra whatever, they kind of like flesh it out instead of just grabbing like a half dozen of them that suck and dragging them into the X-Men. Just wait until you've got a full formed idea, and then like New Mutants style. New Mutants was a great offshoot for a while. That was a great offshoot of the X-Men lore. Just wait till you have a good idea, fleshed out.
You know why? And I'll agree to that. And you know why? Because it wasn't this giant story that was planned to take 6 years to tell. Mm. It was, we're gonna have like a 3 or 4 issue story and it's over, and then we have like a couple filler issues and we tell short little stories. Yeah. They're easy, they're digestible. If you hate issues 20 through 25, okay, it's over, let's move on to the next. Yeah. I think they got too big, they focused too much on being teachers. What kid wants to read the escapism book about people with powers going to school? Like... It doesn't add up.
No.
I think the school side is really what burns me out the most in recent X-Men books. And that's why I'm just like, screw this person, screw that person.
I think ham-fisting certain people into being teachers, like at no point should Logan be like the headmaster of the school.
And why was Spider-Man there?
Yeah, what in the world? I don't know. I don't know.
You're not a mutant, buddy. Are you even allowed to teach here?
No, I don't think, unless it's like combat training, I don't see any reason why any of the X-Men should be teaching anything. The X-Men superhero team should be separate.
Storm could teach meteorology.
Yeah, no, just like, oh, it's raining because I made it rain. Like, how she doesn't even know.
If she said that every issue, yeah. I'd be in.
That's it. Like, I don't know why it rains. I don't know about converging storm fronts.
Storm is a great example of, like, I never hated Storm. She's fine. But when she showed up in Black Panther, and they did that whole run of Fantastic Four, where she was part of it with Black Panther and Thing and Johnny Storm when they were filling in after Civil War, that run was fantastic. And I was like, oh, Storm's actually really cool. They showed me her in a different light, and I enjoyed her way more.
Yeah.
And to this day, I like and respect Storm way more because of a story in a different book, because they did it correctly. They told the story correctly.
Yeah.
They progressed. There was a point to it. And it was done while doing, you know, two or three issue arcs where it's like, we're doing this. All right, now we're over here. All right, now we're going to go fight this guy. But, like, you're progressing emotionally, these people.
Yeah.
Not just, hey, I flunked my test. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I mean, I still think they're all, like, most of the core ones I think are great characters. I think it's great books. But then I will agree that I think if you take them out of the X-Men, like, I think the, what do they call them? The Uncanny Avengers? Was that the name of that team?
That was a team.
The Unity Squad. I think the first iteration of that was interesting. I think the characters they picked for were interesting. The conflict they went into was interesting. I still think there's enough good with the X-Men that I think it outweighs, like, the just bizarre direct turns they decide to take with some of the storylines.
I think storytelling is the most important thing. I look at things like the Savage Avengers, which is happening right now, and that is a team that on paper makes no sense. 0% sense, and it's one of the best books out right now.
Yeah.
You got Conan in modern times on an Avenger team. It makes no sense. But then they made it make sense. They progressed the story, and it's actually really good. And I was ready to shit all over that book. I was like, this is dumb. No, it's great. And it's great team building. And that's what the X-Men need. If they can prove that Conan in our time, being just a big dumb barbarian fighting anybody, is a good thing. You know, and you have an odd team with, like, Dr. Voodoo's there. And Wolverine's all blood ragey. And the Punisher showed up. And, like, there's all these weird things. None of these people are Avengers.
Yeah.
I guess Wolverine a little bit, but I don't know.
I don't think either of you are going to sway the other one.
No.
I don't think this is going to get much further than it's already done. X-Men are great.
I have an analogy about this. Like, the problem with...
Here's the closing argument.
The inherent problem with X-Men and, like, team-up comics in general.
Mm-hmm.
So just, like, name me a classic rock band.
Queen.
Okay, so imagine Queen... Mm-hmm. All the original members, you know, Freddie Mercury, Brian May, all of them are, you know. So imagine, you know, they made all their classic albums and all of that. And imagine they're still making albums today and they're alive and well today. And now imagine that once in a while they do collaborations with, like, Skrillex and Diplo.
Oh, no.
And, I don't know. So imagine that.
It's hard, but I'm with you.
My brain can't let that happen.
Not everybody's into that.
Well, I just think the Doors Skrillex thing that happened, and, like, I wouldn't have thought that could have been a thing, but that happened.
Freddie Mercury belting Bangarang is the only thing I can hear in my head right now.
So, I think, that's the problem.
I like Queen no matter what they do. And you're the son of a bitch that hates Queen.
I don't hate Queen.
That's it. This analogy, you hate Queen.
No, I don't. Queen no longer has Freddie Mercury. What do? They get Paul Rodgers. They go out and they don't really try to play those songs. And he doesn't try to sing like Freddie Mercury.
Adam Lambert.
Whatever, man. That's, you know, like,
which is unfortunate.
Well, he can probably actually sing closer.
He does.
But
that's pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't care for him.
And then, well, then you can take Journey.
Sure.
Play Steve Perry with a guy that sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
Yeah.
Found him on YouTube.
I know. That's one of my favorite stories, because it was, like, on Good Morning America, where all these, like, old white women who love Steve Perry were like, who the hell's the Asian guy up there? You could just see it on their faces.
Well, so when... This is way off topic from this, and if you want to cut it, that's fine.
Nope. It's all in.
We watched a documentary talking about it. And when they saw him, they found his phone number, like, figured out what it was, called him, and he didn't believe them and hung up on them. The band called him and said, hey, we want you to be in the band. And he hung up on them because he thought it was their, like, so of one of his friends playing a joke on him.
Which is very fair.
Yeah, that's it.
So I guess to wrap it up, to put a pin in this for now,
Tim wants better storytelling.
Yes, I want better storytelling with better characters initially, and you have to make me care about everyone else. That's my stance. Rich loves everything.
I think there's always been, granted, there's a lot of noise around it, but I think there's always been...
What is a cuckoo sister? Explain it to me! Explain it to me now!
They are. They're the sisters. They all share the same like mind. They're telepathic.
Yes, they are. They're a plot device that has ruined so many X-Men comics.
They're not a plot device. They're human beings with superpowers.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there was a lot of it. There was that
I think
one,
that was a cheap pot shot at the end.
Kid Omega.
No, this is Strife. He's better than Cable.
Strife? Not better than Cable.
He's way better.
He's about as convoluted as yet.
Yeah, that's where we started taking that turn, Claremont.
And then the Halo was weird. He had all those weird effing alien-looking cronies of his. Like, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah.
Strife is terrible.